only reading from 3 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
We've got a great crowd this morning. We appreciate your all being here. We have a lot of guests, and we're honored by your presence. And it's also good to see so many of our own members that have been out and been sick that are able to be back with us. God truly is good. He has answered a lot of prayers. And, of course, we still got a lot to pray about and a lot to do. But we appreciate everybody being here today for worship. Couple of housekeeping announcements. There's a list in the foyer. We have a free pass for Galaxy of Lights, and so we're going to take the van on December the 13th. There's 14 spots. That's it. 14. So first come, first serve. So the first 14 names. I'm be driving the van. I'm number 15, but I'm not on the list. But the first 14 names that sign up on there will be able to ride on the van. Anybody else wants to go, you got to pay your own way. But anyway, so if you want to go to Galaxy Lights, we're leaving on Friday, December 13th. We're leaving the church building at 5:30, and we'll go see that and then head back. Then on the following Tuesday, December 17th, we're going to do our annual Christmas caroling, going around to various members of the congregation that are shut in and cannot get out. And so we're going to go and sing Christmas carols to them. And the annual tradition is we go to Cracker Barrel afterwards, and the preacher buys everybody hot chocolate out of his own pocket. We'll not use the church credit card. I will not do that. So, but anyway, we'll have a good time with that, and we want to invite everybody that can to plan on going with us for that. We hope that you'll be back tonight. 5 o'clock, we're going to continue talking about gifts. That's our theme this month, and we're going to be talking about that quite a bit. You saw that in the bulletin article this morning. This morning's lesson is entitled simply, The Gifts of God. The Gifts of God. And tonight we will continue that. We want to invite everybody to plan on being here for our annual Christmas party. We're going to go in the back and have a good meal and play Dirty Santa and may even sing a song that everybody enjoys singing because it makes the preacher have to run all over the place. But anyway, we'll look forward to that and have a good time together this evening. At 5 o'clock, Pew Packers right here, something really special that we got planned for tonight. This time of year, the Christian world turns its attention to the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, in the church, we don't have a set date. We don't celebrate the birth of Jesus as a church. We don't have authorization in Scripture for that. And neither are we told in Scripture to celebrate a particular day of Jesus' death. That's not something that we're told to do. And so we don't have authorization for that. But Jesus was born on a particular day, and he died on a particular day. We just don't know what day that was, what days those were. But actually, we remember the Lord's birth and his life and his death and his resurrection and his promised return throughout the whole year, and particularly every Sunday when we gather for worship. We celebrate God's greatest gift. God's greatest gift. You know, a custom has developed alongside the story of the birth of Jesus regarding the giving and receiving of gifts during this holiday season. And I suppose it could have had its origin in the gifts that were brought to Jesus by the wise men from the East. Regardless, though, of the origin of this tradition, it's still a good tradition. It's one we all enjoy. But children are almost giddy this time of year with anticipation, aren't they? But then so are we adults. We get kind of giddy. What will I get? Or will they like what I've gotten for them? Will they be happy with what I've gotten for them? So we wonder about these things. Well, brethren, as we already said, the greatest gift that was ever given was God's gift to man, and that was his only begotten Son. Not only did Jesus leave heaven to become a human, but he gave himself for us to save us from sin and from certain separation from God in eternal torment of hell. Now, we'll talk more about God's best gift tonight. But this morning, I want to focus on what else God has given us in addition to the gift of his Son. I want to talk about what else God has given. And there's five things I want to say in the next longer than 5 minutes. All right? It'll take more than 5 minutes, but we'll see. First of all, God has given us real purpose in life. Wouldn't it be awful to just wander around and have no real place to go? I have watched homeless people walking on the street. And it's so sad to watch homeless people walking. I've seen them on 31, just walking up and down 31. I've seen them on 72, just walking up and down. It's sad because they have no place to go. They just wander around. There's never been an archer that was able to be effective without a target. Think about it. If you're going to fire a bow and arrow, you're going to shoot an arrow, you got to have a target. You just don't shoot it anywhere. You got to have a target, a specific target. We need purpose, folks. And God has given us purpose. Purpose in life. Philippians chapter 1, 21. For to me, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There is man that has a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here's our purpose. We've been created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we have a purpose when we become Christians, when we obey the gospel. We have a purpose, and that is to do good works, to walk in them. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or completed my task. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has a purpose, and so do we, and that is to serve the Lord, to be faithful to him. See, that's one reason why you come to church. You come to church, and we all have multiple reasons. We see those that we love. We enjoy some good fellowship. But we come to church because this is something God wants us to do. He wants us to do this. I hear people say, you don't have to go to church. Now look, can you countermand God's instructions? Can you reverse a command from the Lord? You know, do you think that's a safe thing to do? God wants us to go to church. So we go to church. It's the right thing to do. He commanded it. It's our purpose in life to do these good works, to go to church, to press on, to keep trying to do the good works. And of course, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do or endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have a purpose in life. That's the first thing. Second, we have help in any time of need. No matter what our need may be, we have help. Now, what kind of help does God give? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I can endure. I can deal with it. God is going to help me to deal with whatever comes. Now, during the Sunday school class, Rick was talking about suffering. None of us like the idea of suffering. You know, most people get a headache from time to time. Or we will hurt ourselves maybe doing some work around the house and we'll have body aches. Or athletes will be sore from their sport. You know, we all go through times where we feel physical pain. That's just part of life, isn't it? It's just the natural result. And a natural result from being a child of God is there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be, because we are opposed by Satan and all of his forces. And so there's going to be some trouble for us. There's going to be some problems that we're going to have to deal with. And it's all dependent upon the attitude we have about it. But if we realize that God has given us gifts to help us through our suffering, through the hardships that we will have to face, then it makes it a whole lot easier to deal with them when we know that God is with us. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This power from heaven is working in us. God is strengthening us to be able to deal with whatever comes our way. There's no excuse for us giving up. There's no excuse for us throwing up our hands and walking away from Christ. God is empowering us to face whatever comes. Death, suffering, setbacks, disappointments, bad health, loss of job, loss of relationships. It doesn't matter what we may have to face. God will empower us. He will strengthen us. He will help us to get through it. That's his promise. And we need to take him at his word. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to supply all your need. No matter what it is. No matter what you have to face. Sickness, death, heartbreak, heartache, doesn't matter. God will help us. And brethren, this is such a beautiful thought that God is there for us in our times of need. He tells us in 1 Peter 5 verse 7 that we should cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Third, real riches. Lasting riches. This is a blessing that God promises to us. Lasting riches. Listen to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 21. So is he, talking about wise person, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is, I'm sorry, I've got my verse backwards. Talking about the fool. The fool is the one who is rich toward himself and is not rich toward God, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Why? Because it will not last. It will not last. But rather the wise person is the one who lays up his treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there too. Brethren, the wise person seeks lasting riches. Lasting riches. Are we headed for some economic problems in this country? Sure, of course. Why? Because it happens in cycles. We're going to have some bad times in our future. We may have some more good times first, but we will definitely have some bad times. Will the stock market go up? Yeah. Will it go down? Yeah. Will the economy get better? Yeah. Will it get worse? Yeah. It will. It will do all of those things. That's just the way life is. But you want something that's going to last. Something you can count on. Somebody said it's something you can take to the bank. Well, if you can trust the bank, right? But listen to Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21. Lay up for yourself treasure. Well, I'm sorry, I've already done that passage. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, 18. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. This is our command from the Lord. We are to work so that we may have to supply our own needs, but enough also to give to those who cannot care for themselves, to give to those around us who have need, who are not able to care for themselves. That's one of the expectations. Lasting riches, though, that's the treasure in heaven. And that's what we have from God, as a gift from God. Treasure in heaven. Number four, a family life that works. A family life that works. It is incredible how many books there are that talk about the family. Incredible at the number of people who have put pen to paper and written books that give every possible perspective of what will work to make a successful home. Well, God did that a long time ago. He's the one who created us. He's the one who created the home. And God gave us an instruction manual to help us at home. God will give us guidance for the family that really works. And the source of that guidance is the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So here's the source of family life that works. Go to the Scriptures and see what God has to say about it. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. 5, verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And then Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible will guide you in all kinds of relationships, but it specifically gives you guidance on how to have a successful family, how to raise your children, how to respect each other, how to love each other, how to treat one another as husbands, as wives, as brothers and sisters, as children toward parents and parents toward children, as brothers in Christ toward brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ toward sisters in Christ. Every relationship is covered in Scripture. It will give you the plan, the pattern by which you can have a successful family life. And then the last one today, the last point I'll make this morning. The gift that God has given, hope beyond this life. Hope beyond this life. You know, let's face it, life is kind of hard. And there's so many unanswered questions. They've made movies about near-death experiences. They've made movies about people, and they've written books about people that have been pronounced dead on the table and then came back. And they talk about a bright light, and the voice is saying, come on into the light. Or the others write and it says, don't go into the light. And it's some strange ideas, and it's all metaphysics, okay, which is really not real physics at all. But here's the thing. We don't know from personal experience what is waiting for us, do we? We do not know. There's no observance that we can give. There's no scientific process that we can use to determine, to show us what is waiting for us beyond our last heartbeat. We don't have it. There's nothing there in science that can tell us. And when people say that they've saved people, that this one's died and he's come back, even that, how do we depend upon that? You're now depending upon somebody else's words, somebody else's thought or perspective. And you really want to depend on that? What is it that gives us confidence? What is it? How can we face death? And we don't have a choice in the matter. Dean Stewart held on a long time. She held on a long time. But when it came. She went peacefully. But it was time. And she went. And so will we all one day. So will we all. How will we face that? How will we deal with that moment? See, this is the difficult part about death, is that we just don't have the physical evidence to show us where we will spend eternity. Is there an eternity? Or is there not? All right, when you die, are you like old Rover? You're dead all over? That's what the atheist would have us believe. So what do we go by? Well, brethren, if we have faith in God, if we trust Him, and we trust His Word, then we can have confidence. We can have hope beyond this life. Hope that we're going to see our loved ones again. Hope that heaven is going to be our home. We can have this hope, this confidence, this assurance that we're going to be there one day. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. This, of course, is talking about if Christ is not raised from the dead, then the dead do not rise. And if the dead do not rise, then, what are we doing all this for? Why are we enduring these problems? Why are we wasting our money putting it in the plate? Why are we getting up on Sunday morning coming to church instead of going and doing something that we might really want to do with our families? Why are we wasting our time? If Christ is not risen, then the dead do not rise, and we have no hope. Is that the way people want to live? I don't think so. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Thou art with me. We don't go that valley alone. I know that song, "You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta walk it by yourself." No, you don't. There's no one here can walk it for you. But you don't walk it by yourself. Because though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear evil. For God is with you. You have that hope if you are a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, you don't have that hope. But if you are a child of God, you have the hope that you will not walk through that valley by yourself. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. I want to hold on to that promise. This is one of God's great gifts for us, brethren. Look at Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." And then Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." By the way, heaven has a one-way street. You go in, you never have to leave. You never have to leave. Stan and Allison went on vacation. Stan doesn't do math very well. Thought they had an extra day. Hotel kicked them out. They had to come back. Well, wherever you go, you got to leave. But you don't have to leave heaven. You don't have to leave. It's a one-way street. You go in. You don't have to go out. And we'll be there forever. Now, do you know what heaven's going to be like? We have God's description, but even that. See, this is the one thing. And it's not because God is limited. It's because we are limited. We really can't comprehend the glory that God has waiting for us. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the imagination of the heart of man the glory that God has waiting, has in store for them who love Him, who serve Him, who will be faithful to Him. Heaven will be your home. You have that great gift of hope that heaven's going to be your home one day. And so you can face death with confidence. Not confidence in yourself, not confidence in death, but confidence in God that He's not going to let you down. He never has, and He never will. These are by no means all of the blessings, but this is enough to give you a taste of what God is doing for us every day. And I hope that you are encouraged by this. I hope you're encouraged enough to rededicate, to redouble your efforts to be faithful to God. And if you're not a Christian, I hope that this challenges you to make you realize how badly you need Jesus, how much you need to come to Him so that life can be yours. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then repent. Turn from sin and commit your life to His service. Confess His sweet name and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, letting the blood of Jesus wash your sins away so that you can have salvation. Read the bulletin article, especially that last paragraph. You'll get the picture. Brethren, if you've not done that, you need to obey God before it's too late. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you need to rededicate yourself to Him. Before you leave this building today, you need to rededicate your life to Him and begin doing the good works that God wants you to do. Whatever your situation, just remember, God is a giver of great gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift has come from God. I hope that will encourage you to rededicate yourself to Him. Whatever your situation, come if you need to as we stand and sing.